This morning we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, chapter 16, beginning with verse 208. We weren't entirely sure if this was the right number, but after careful deliberation, it was decided that this will be where we start. So we can chant this together. Madhava-dasa-grihe tapa-sakshira-nandana
Madhava-dasa-grihe
tapa-sakshira-nandana
Madhava-dasa-grihe tapa-sakshira-nandana
Lasya-bhukti-bhukta-tapa-vaidhara-sama In modern Bengali, this would be Lakka instead of Laksha. We don't really know how it would have been at the time of Krishnadas Kaviraj's compiling. Madhava dasa grihe tatha sachidanandana
Madhava dasa grihe tatha sachidanandana
Lakha koti lukha tatha aina darshana
Lakha koti lukha tatha aina darshana
Just noticing this chapter is called The Lord's Attempt to Go to Vrindavan, which means he didn't make it last time. Okay. Madhava Dasa Grihe.
Madhava Dasa Grihe.
At the house of Madhava Dasa.
At the house of Madhava Dasa.
Satan.
Satan.
There. Sachidanandana,
Sachidanandana,
the son of Mother Sachi,
the son of Mother Sachi,
Lakshakutiloka,
Lakshakutiloka,
many hundreds and thousands of people.
Many hundreds and thousands of people.
Tada,
Tada,
there,
there,
Aitadarshana,
Aitadarshana,
got his audience.
Got his audience.
Translation and purport by Swami Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada. Translation. When the Lord stayed at the house of Madhava Dasa, many hundreds and thousands of people came to see him. Purport. Madhava Dasa is identified as follows. In the family of Srikar Chattopadhyaya. Yudhishthir Chattopadhyaya took his birth. Formerly, he and his family members lived in Bilvagram and Paduri. From there, he went to Kuliya, Pahadapura, formerly known as Padapura. The eldest son of Yudhishthir, Chattopadhyaya, is known as Madhava Dasa. The second son was called Haridasa, and the youngest son was called Krishna Sampatti Chattopadhyaya. The three brothers' nicknames were Chakari, Tinakari, and Dukari. Chakari, Tinakari, and Dukari. The grandson of Madhava Das was named Vamshivarana, and his grandson Ramachandra and their descendants are all still living at Vagnapada or Vainchi. Vainchi. So, and that's the end of this purport. which I suspect is a translation of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's purport. Many of the, if not most of the purports in Chaitanya Charitamrita are direct translations from Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's Bengali commentary. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur compiled much of this detailed information about these families of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which gives, I think, a very nice a kind of richness to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, a sense that real people. The associates of Lord Chaitanya are real people coming from real families, having real children, and you know, living in the real world. It's intriguing. One devotee I remember many years ago, he told me the first time he read these descriptions in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he was just so fascinated by this detailed information that he decided he was just going to go and travel to all these places, especially when it would describe, you know, specific places and how to get there. You take the train to this stop, you get off, you get a rickshaw, you go 2 miles. You know. He said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow all these details. So he did. He went to all these places. A lot of this information is a bit dated. Some of the, you know, how you get to some place may have changed over time. So, of course, that will eventually become a big debate whether, therefore, we should change the purport or not. Because the information doesn't. Yeah. That will happen when it's time for another controversy. You know, hasn't been any controversy for a while, then that will come up. A broader topic we might reflect on in relation to this and similar descriptions is the idea of what some scholars call ethnic religion, which is, I don't know about strict definition, but it's usually associated with the idea that people follow a religion because their parents follow it, and their parents follow it, and so on. sometimes a contrast is made between this type of religion category and missionary or missionizing. And the sort of typical distinction or examples of these made in Western culture. On the one hand, there's Judaism, which is very much an ethnic religious tradition. And then in contrast to Judaism is Christianity, which became, starting with Paul, the Apostle Paul, became a very much missionizing religion. In India, a contrast is often made between so-called Hinduism, which is associated with more ethnic ideas, ethnic tradition, and Buddhism, which becomes very much a missionizing tradition. Some scholars say that Buddhism is Hinduism strips down for export. naturally, whenever you encounter such categories like that, you can start looking for exceptions and for nuances, because it's never only one thing or the other. It's always some mixture, some blend. Yesterday was Nityananda Prabhu's appearance celebration, and there's In India, in Bengal especially, there's, and also in Vrindavan, there are members of the Nityananda Vamsha, the family of Nityananda. There's a temple I stumbled across in Vrindavan once. You can go and you'll see a plaque, I think a big marble plaque on the side, inside the temple near the deities, with all the names from Nityananda, many names of the family members coming down to the present time. And there's an associated with idea with these members, which became a source of criticism by our tradition, Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur in particular, that someone was claiming to be a Vaishnava on the basis of, on the strength of the father and so on, going back to Nityananda Prabhu. So I am a Nityananda Vamshi, I am a member of his family, therefore I am Guru. And so this becomes something of an issue. Bhaktivinoda Thakur went so far as to include in his list of upasampradayas, I think it was 13 different groups listed, and one of them is Jati Gosai. Jati means something like family in this case, or clan. Clan is maybe better. And Gosai, the Bengali for Goswami. And so we have today in India, again in Vrindavan, temples which are run by families who have descended not necessarily directly from Goswamis, as we understand the word Goswami, because in our understanding of Goswamis, Goswamis don't have children, they don't get married, but there is this idea of a Goswami family title descending from the pujaris of the Goswami. So the Radha Raman temple, the priests are all descendants of the original, I think it was Damodar was his name, was the priest appointed by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Eventually there were 5 family branches, and then they have expanded. Now there are some 40 families. Actually, I think there were 7, and then 2 of the families died out, and I think now there are 5. Anyway, there's something like 40 families now. And they keep their tradition such that they have a very strict rule that only direct descendants can worship the deity. In fact, male direct descendants. And they made a rule some generations ago that also no one could adopt a child, and that child, if someone would adopt, would not be allowed to go and help. So that's the rule. That's how they keep that rule. And there are different ways of seeing it. Shall we understand from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, therefore these people are, as we would say, as Prabhupada would say, in different contexts, bogus? Are they also associates of Lord Chaitanya, engaged in Lord Chaitanya's service, in Krishna's service, or what's going on there? It might be a bigger subject for discussion. I won't go into it here. But having studied the having spent some time studying that particular family, my feeling is that at least many members are very sincere devotees who are very sincerely engaged in Radha's service and Krishna's service, Lord Chaitanya's service. The word bamsha, by the way, I like this word. It means bamboo. And bamboo, you know, has its sections. So bamsha means bamboo. It also means dynasty or family. Yeah, it can mean the whole family line, or it can mean a section of the family. So, and then bamshi. Krishna is bamshi dali, the holder of the flute. What kind of flute? Bamboo flute. let's see. Oh yeah, I was thinking in the Western context this became a big issue. In Christianity, of course, there's the sacrament of baptism. And this became a huge issue. I don't remember, you know, sometime few centuries back, the so-called Baptists became very vocal. The Baptists said, whereas in the Roman Catholic Church, and I don't know about the Eastern Orthodox Church, but a very small child, a baby, is baptized. And the Baptists said, that doesn't make sense. Why would you baptize a baby? A baby has no idea what's going on. You have to wait until, you know, the person is grown up so that he or she can decide for themselves. And so back and forth, and then we have all kinds of wars here in Europe over issues like this, people killing each other. So people get very intense on different subjects. So yeah, ethnic versus missionizing, or, you know, blending of the two. We see Chaitanya Charitamrita is, I think, an interest. This is one of the interesting themes, you could say, that one can look for in Chaitanya Charitamrita, is kind of the blend. Later in this chapter, we read about Raghunath Das. Raghunath's family, his parents, are Vaishnavas. But is Raghunath satisfied with that? No. He wants to give up his family and join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so there's many different grades, different degrees of Vaishnava identification. Going back to the Radharaman example, another of their rules is that if someone, if one of the Goswamis of the Radharaman community takes sannyas, then that sannyasi is no longer allowed to go on the altar to worship the deity. And there is one, I met one of their members who is a sannyasi. I forgot to ask him this though, is this really true? Are you not allowed to go on? Right, so we have some names here, and you know, I often feel when reading these names how wonderful it would be if we would know more than just the name and the relationship. Here, Madhava Das, Srikar Chattopadhyaya. Okay. Well, one thing we can know about him is significant in Indian names often, at least not nowadays, but in earlier times, you would know what the occupation of a person was from the name. So an Upadhyaya would be a teacher. A teacher. Chattopadhyaya. So, teacher means also you would have been a Brahmin. And here the distinction is between the Varnas and the Jati. And my students in Hong Kong would get endlessly confused by this. You know, talking about so-called caste. I would say, well, it's not that simple. There's two things. There's Varna and there's Jati. And there's four Varnas and there are hundreds, if not thousands, of Jatis in India. So, how do they relate? Well, actually, anthropologists are still trying to understand how they relate, because it's complicated. So, we're hearing about Lord Chaitanya visiting different devotees. And another way of thinking of these kinds of descriptions, I would say, is they're like an elaboration on the theology, the principle of the Panchatattva. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sami, Gaura Bhaktivinoda. So the Gaura Bhaktivinoda part is quite significant. It's being elaborated here that Lord Chaitanya is meeting all these devotees and blessing. We read in this verse that laksha koti loka, hundreds and thousands and millions, in other words, a lot of people, are coming to see the Lord. They're having his darshan. So there's actually two categories here in a sense. There are those who are named who meet the Lord, and there are those who are not named, the many devotees who are not named, the anonymous devotees. But the Lord is affirming a connection with them. He is giving his blessings. How is he giving his blessings? In this case, just by seeing darshan. Okay. Shall we continue? Or does someone have a thought or a question on this? What we've mentioned so far? Yes.
At the beginning of your lecture, you spoke about ethnic religion.
Yeah.
And short ago, Dr. Bull Rockford came to teach. Yeah. He was teaching ISKCON Society.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yes. He didn't speak about ethnic religion. And during a conversation, he mentioned something he mentions in his last book, Hare Krishna Transformed, what he calls Indianization of ISKCON or Hinduization of ISKCON.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's your perspective on that, again? Because someone could tell you, okay, ISKCON is becoming
Indian. Hindu.
In some places, an ethnic religion, and this is not the Prabhupada wanted. Mm-hmm. I mean, even he had a strong feeling for it. He was talking like, okay, this is not what Prabhupada wanted.
Yeah, it's like that. It's become, what do I think about it? Well, different things. I'd like to read his book. I'd like to see what he's saying about it. I think it's pretty kind of obvious to all of us. We've noticed over the years many temples are very predominant Western temples. You know, an increasing number, proportion, even predominance. Many temples in America have predominance of Indian people. And I don't think we can say, you know, this is not the way things should be, because Prabhupada was also encouraging Indians in the West. He wanted them to become life members, and then he wanted them eventually and gradually become full-on devotees. Another thing is that, as I understand, Prabhupada's sort of the full picture of his idea, his strategy of devotion, was going to the West, making Western devotees, bringing those Western devotees to India, inspiring Indians through seeing Western devotees becoming devotees, to then also become devotees, and then the final thing was they should go out to the rest of the world and spread the mission. So I don't think we can say, you know, this is all wrong. There has been, and it's maybe something he mentioned as a result of this, and this is unfortunate, I think, and we don't, maybe we haven't figured out what to do about this, but I've seen in Bhaktivedanta Manor, for example, Janmashtami, you know, thousands of people are coming, practically all of them are Indian, and the local community of devotees, mainly Western European devotees, you don't see them at all. You know, they just stay away because they just, you know, they just don't want to be part of that scene. They don't feel that they're part of that. You could also say because, you know, they just don't want to be with all the crowds. So there's different things involved, different considerations. But beyond just Janmashtami, you know, many, I've noticed, you don't see, so there's somebody, I asked how many devotees are in the greater London community of devotees, or rather the Bhaktivedanta Manor. Someone guessed that it's about 300, mainly Western, as I understood, but you know, you don't see most of them. Why is that? Well, many different things, reasons can be given. It's interesting, in Hong Kong, there are, the city of Hong Kong, since some decades, has an Indian community. Someone said about 30,000 Indians are there, starting with, anyway, there are different ethnic groups. Sindhis, they're the first people to come was people from Sindh, which is part of Pakistan. So they, at the partition 1947, many of them migrated to Hong Kong, they do business. And then there are Sikhs, Punjabi Sikhs, and of course, there are Gujaratis. So in our temple, there are Indians, but there are also local Hong Kong Chinese. So on Sunday, they have two programs. At midday, there's a program for the Chinese, and in the evening, for the Indians. That way, there's the language issue, so they'll have a lecture in Cantonese, for the Chinese. And then for the Indians, either in English or in Hindi. And also the feast, they'll be slightly different. So like that. Any other thoughts on that? Okay, a little bit more we can read. Sātadina rahita tāloka nishtarila Shavaparāthigane prakkare charila. The Lord stayed there for 7 days and delivered all kinds of offenders and sinners. Aparādhi gane prakkare charila. Prakkare means in some fashion. by some means. So we understand from the previous verse that he was giving his darshana, this just seeing them, people were delivered. So it could be suggested that this is how he was delivering them, or in different ways.
Shantipura charya grihe kinche aila shachimatta mini tara dukkha kandaina.
After leaving Kuliya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the house of Advaita Acharya at Shantipur. It was there that the Lord's mother, Shachi Mata, met him and was thus relieved of her great unhappiness. So we know that Shachi Mata was pining for her dear son for the remainder of her life, because he had... One gets the sense sometimes that it was almost on a lark, we say in English, on a whim, Lord Chaitanya decided to take sannyas. It's nothing like nowadays. There's application form, right? He's getting on a list, waiting, and then there's a meeting with the committee and all these things. Probably Lord Chaitanya would have been disqualified from taking sannyas by our sannyas committee. Because, I'm going to get in trouble for this, because he had his mother to take care of. Her husband had died, and his elder brother had gone. So the committee probably would have said, so who's going to take care of your mother? And because Lord Chaitanya, after he takes sannyas, he meets his mother, and his mother says, what have you done? And he says, I don't know. I don't know what got into me. I'm sorry. But it's too late, He took sannyas, he can't go back. So tell me what to do now. All right, go to Puri, and then at least we'll hear from you. So now he's coming back through Bengal, and giving this opportunity again to his mother to see. Imagine how happy she must have been to see him after, I don't know how many years this is, but this would have been after some years.
Tabe Rama Keli Grame Prabhu Jacche Gela Nata Shala Hoyte Prabhu Kuna Pili Paila.
The Lord then visited the village known as Rama Keli and the place known as Kanai Nata Shala. From there he returned to Shantipur.
Shantipure Kuna Paila Dasharina Vasha Vishari Vanyachin Vrindavanadasa.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in Shantipur for 10 days. This has all been described very elaborately by Vrindavanadasa Thakur. And then he will say, therefore I'm not going to elaborate, because this would increase the size of the book unnecessarily. So he's suggesting we then turn to Chaitanya Bhagavata for details of all of this. It mentions Kanai Nata Shala. I've never been there. Has anyone been to Kanai Nata Shala? Karayana Sala? Nata Shala. Well, maybe the name has changed, but now we call it Kanai Nata. Or here. Kanai Nata Shala. Nata Shala means a place for theater. Nata Shala. Shala, structure for Nata, for the theater, for performance. So it's some kind of place for performance. And Lord Chaitanya went there and then stopped his pilgrimage. And what was the name of the devotee who was meditating on the roadway? Narasingha Bhattacharya. Yes, he was meditating on the road for Lord Chaitanya to do his pilgrimage. And he was making the road very nice. Actually, this is a nice... I think one can... I don't think it would be imitation to kind of... One can do this as a kind of manasa puja to remember, as a way of remembering Lord Chaitanya, that he's traveling, and one can think of how he was traveling and where he was traveling, and one can think of Narasingha Brahmachari's meditation, how he was making the road very nice, with gardens on either side and lakes, and all of that. So one can also picture, one can make a picture in the mind as a way of associating with the word. As we know, Narasingha Brahmachari, as he was meditating like this, at one point his meditation stopped, or at least in his meditation, Lord Chaitanya stopped. Where did he stop?
Kamayana.
Yes. So that's the significance of coming, and it's where Lord Chaitanya stopped and did not proceed further to Vrindavan, not this time. One can also think of Lord Chaitanya's longing to go to Vrindavan. We may sometimes feel we would like to go to Vrindavan, and we can think of how Lord Chaitanya wanted to go to Vrindavan but couldn't, or else apparently couldn't, for one reason or another. This time, I get the different occasions mixed up. But on one occasion, Sanatana Goswami told him, you shouldn't go with this big crowd. It was this time? Yeah, it was from Ramakrishna. So, maybe we don't have that problem. That we're being followed by big crowds. But there may be other reasons why we can't go to Vrindavan. We have our duties and obligations, and there may be financial reasons why we don't go to Vrindavan. It's expensive to get there. I just came from Argentina. As Paramahansa knows, devotees, very few devotees can manage financially to get from way down there to all the way to India. It's just so expensive. Argentine economy is not so easy for most of us. So then, what to do? Well, one thing we can do is meditate on Lord Chaitanya going to these places. Or even not going to these places, wanting to go to these places. Mm-hmm. Right, well, according to our schedule. Oh, I'm over time. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki?
Jai.
Sri Radha Gopinath ki?
Jai.
Sri Prabhupada ki?
Jai.
Okay, fine.